Don't be mad if I cry. It just hurts so bad sometimes. 'Cause every day it's sinking in, and I have to say goodbye all over again. You know, I bet it feels good to have the weight of this world off your shoulders now. I'm dreaming of the day when I'm finally there. Try to hold on to this world.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever
All rise, please. You may be seated. On behalf of the family of Braden, I welcome you who've joined us today in paying our respect to his memory. In this service, with gratitude, we remember his life and his accomplishments, and we give thanks to God for the things he did to make our world a better place. Through this service, may our dedication to serve others be deepened, and may our lives be lifted to that which is eternal, and may we live today so that one day we can say in the words of the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let us pray. God, our Creator, the death of our beloved Braden recalls our human condition and the brevity of our lives on this earth. But for those who believe in your love Death is not the end, nor does it destroy the bonds that you forge in our lives. We either share the faith of your Son's disciples and the hope of the children of God. Bring the light of Christ's resurrection to us in this time of testing and pain. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the things that I enjoyed learning about Braden was that he had a list of life goals. And so he had goals, he had dreams. And on that list was actually this scripture, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. At one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Now avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unproductive and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time, and after that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. I'm going to invite Hannah to come forward now, and she's going to share some memories.
In my daughter's words, well, never in my life did I think I would put through this type of pain, not this young at least. Words cannot even describe how much I wish I could rewind and enjoy my last second with my little brother, or a little longer. We've had our downs, but had so many more ups, and I will forever cherish those memories. Though everything we've been through together, we've always stuck by each other's side. We've shown our love for me even from a distance. Never did I expect to get that call, and unfortunately it happened to be you. There's so much I could say right now, but I just put it into words. In my head, you're not gone, but rather following my footsteps, making sure I'm driving safe, not doing anything stupid and still following my dreams. I wish I would have told you how much I love you a little more often. Here's to you. Please keep an eye on me from above. None of this feels real. You didn't deserve this one bit. Raise hell up there. Never stop. Enjoy those teas. Smoke that blunt. Catch that fish. Catch that fish in the sea. Don't let anyone underestimate your power. You're too strong for that. Keep up your battle to a straight and narrow path while guiding all of us in your path with you. I will never stop loving you, and will never let your name be forgotten. You're the best brother anyone could ask for, and the best uncle to Nova. I miss and love you so much, big bro, until we meet again.
Let's bow our heads in a spirit of prayer. Would you join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Braden Ralph, 19, of Rochester, passed away on Saturday, January 3rd, 2026, after a tragic car accident. Born Braden Charles Ralph on October 3rd, 2006, to Callie Jo Gilbertson and Zachary Ralph. He is survived by parents Callie and Zach, four younger siblings, Hannah, 17, Colton, 9, Dakota, 7, Lucas, 2, and one niece, Nova, who's 2. Braden is also survived by many grandparents, Melinda and Tim, Jan and Brad, Kenny and Teresa, Terry and Barb and Todd, great-grandparents Mike and Kit Hawkins, Donna Ralph and Helen Smith, aunts and uncles Kendra Shane, Natasha Joe, Matt, Natasha, Ethan and Carly, Ashley and Donovan, Jeremy and Chris, Evan and Ashley, Angela, Colt, Jake and Amanda, as well as many cousins and friends from Minnesota, Montana, and Florida. Braden was always one to enjoy every fishing trip, luck or no luck. He showed close friends some of his spots, making memories that would last a lifetime. He enjoyed camping and trips to the cabin in Osakas. He was always checking in on loved ones, making sure they arrived at their destination safely. Anytime Mom left home, it was always, "Are you good? Drive safe." We'll always remember the countless books read, the trucks played with Lucas, all the Lego sets were built with Colton and Dakota, the Hot Wheels he collected for years, endless pizza and cookie cakes every year for his birthday. Anytime Braden heard Nova's laugh or heard her running down the hall, he made sure to come out and spend as much time with her. Hannah will always remember the day he found out that he was going to be an uncle. Though he was not very happy, he showed incredible support from the beginning to the end and so on. His love, gratefulness, and encouragement will never be forgotten. From skipping rocks to carrying his memory like a smooth stone in our pocket, he was one of the great outdoors. In his book, A Grace Disguised, Jerry Sitzer talks about the tragic accident where his mom, his wife, and his daughter was instantly killed. So in one moment, in one accident, he lost three people who were near and dear to him. He said, "How could I conceive of a future without them? The very thought was abhorrent to me. Whenever I thought of the future, I still found them there. But they were never going to be there, which only made me more aware of how devastating my loss was." Today we face a devastating loss with the death of Braden. Our world is a lot lonelier and emptier without him. We're going to miss his caring spirit. He was loving and soft-spoken and compassionate. He was always making sure that his mom, Callie Jo, was okay. He was protective towards her. And he loved to go and visit his dad, Zach. We're going to miss his calmness. And I was told that his calmness was contagious. If you imagine a little pebble falling in the water and it ripples out. And his calmness was like that. It just had a way of spreading. He loved nature. He loved to fish and hunt. He dreamed of getting a big buck one day. One of his favorite things to do was ice fish. And he wanted to catch a 10-pound bass. That was on his list of life goals. And as I said earlier, he was a dreamer. He had a list of goals that he wanted to accomplish in his life. He wanted to start a business and find a partner. But what impressed me the most was that on his list was this goal: to read the Bible and pray every day. Now let me share with you how I met Braden. One Wednesday night, I was out in the gathering grounds getting ready for a class, and this young man just came in off the street. And he told me that he'd come to our church when he was younger, and I could tell that he was just searching. He was on a search. He was spiritually hungry. And I shared the gospel with him and asked him to pray to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he did. And that young man was Braden. And what I want us to do today, that happened about 6 months ago, and what I want us to do today is to do what I think Braden would want us to do. Remember how his goal was to read the Bible every day? Obviously, that was important to him. So let's just take a moment and look into the Bible and see what it would teach us about how to handle the present pain we're dealing with. Specifically, we're going to look at David. Now, David was the second king of Israel. He brought Israel to a position of power. God called him a man after his own heart, and he defeated Goliath. He was Israel's greatest king. He was a shepherd, a military leader, a poet, a musician. Now, that was quite a spiritual resume. How did David deal with pain and grief? Well, in Psalms 13:1, he says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love, and my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Now, from that passage of scripture, I want to just share with you three ideas to help us cope with the devastating loss we're experiencing. And the first thing is to turn to God. At a time like this, we can choose to turn towards God or away from him. And notice that David says, "How long, Lord?" In other words, he chose to turn towards God. And again, one of the neat things about Braden's story is that he was making choices to really pursue Jesus. Next to his bed was a Bible. He had Bible verses written out in his room, and he came to church. And all of us have that same choice today. Will we choose to turn towards God or away from him? Now, the other thing is that we need to be honest with God. Now, I think one of the misbeliefs that people can have is that, well, you always have to have positivity. You always have to be strong. You can't express your doubts and pain to God. Someone has called this toxic positivity. But that's not what we see from David, is it? He says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever?" Maybe you feel like God has forgotten you today. "How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" I love how honest David is. He's like, "I've got sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me?" See, what I learned from David is that God wants us to tell him what's in our heart, not what we think ought to be in our heart. In fact, Psalms chapter 13 is a part of a group of psalms called the Psalms of Lament. One-third of the psalms are these Psalms of Lament. And in these psalms, the people basically ask two questions. Where are you, God? And if you love me, why has this happened? And maybe you can relate to those questions. And I just want to say, if you do, there's no shame in that. Many people have wrestled with questions like this. In fact, Rick Warren in The Purpose Driven Life says, "In the Bible, the friends of God were honest about their feelings, often complaining and second-guessing, accusing and arguing with their Creator. God, however, doesn't seem to be bothered by their frankness. In fact, he encouraged it." I want to just read to you a few other psalms of lament. In Psalm 77, 1-2, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted." In Psalms 10, it says, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Notice that The psalmists were honest with God. And that's what I think that the Lord wants from us today, is to tell him how we actually feel, not how we think we ought to feel. Again, Warren says, can God handle this kind of frank, intense honesty from you? Absolutely. Genuine friendship is built on disclosure. What may appear as audacious, God views as authentic. God listens to the passionate words of his friends and is bored with predictable, pious cliches. To be God's friend, you must be honest with God, sharing your true feelings, not what you think you ought to feel or say. Now, the next thing we see is that David asked God for help. In verse 3, it says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Notice how David is asking the Lord for help. And one of the things we see in the Bible is that God resists the proud. The proud are those that don't think they need God's help. But he gives grace or help to the humble. In Matthew 5:3, these are the words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? It's a person who recognizes their neediness before God. And because they recognize their neediness, they ask God for help. And God helps those who ask for his help. So today we've come to ask for God's help. We've come to ask God to help us grieve and mourn in a healthy way. And then finally, we choose to trust God. Now, David ends the Psalms by saying, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Now, notice how David begins the Psalms with, Lord, have you forgotten me? I have such sorrow in my heart. But then towards the end of the Psalm, he says, but I trust you. And I think we can have both. Today we can have pain, we can have doubt, we can have struggle, and choose to trust God. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say, well, understand everything. I don't understand why this happened to Braden, why his life was taken at such a young age. I don't understand that. But we are not called to understand everything. We're called to trust God. In fact, Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And see, when we trust in God and we believe the teachings of the Bible, what we will learn is that the end of this life is not the end. See, there is more to us as a human being than our body. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Now watch this. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's more to the human being than the body. There's the spirit and the soul. And I want you to imagine this tape measure. I could go on forever. So just imagine that this tape measure went on forever, okay? And notice this inch here, okay? So this tape measure was on forever, but I've got this inch here. The Bible teaches that our lives on this earth are like this little inch. Life in eternity is so much longer. In fact, it says in the song Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years. Billy Graham once said, one day you're going to read in the paper that I'm dead, but don't believe it. I will be more alive on that day than I've ever been. I will have just changed addresses. As we close today, I want to just lead us as a congregation through a prayer of lament. I want us to just follow in the footsteps of David. And the first thing is to choose to turn towards God in our pain. Just where you're at, maybe you need help from the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to choose to turn to you. But let us just take a moment and pray a prayer that we're going to choose to turn towards you in this pain. Next, be honest with God. A psalm of lament is basically, where are you, God? If you love me, why did this happen? So maybe you're dealing with some of those questions. I want you to take a moment and just express those to God in your heart. Next is asking God for help. And maybe it's praying for the family, that God would give them help, that God would give them grace. But let us now just take a moment and ask for the Lord's help. Then let's take a moment and express our trust in God. And maybe you're not there today, but you can just say, Lord, help me to trust you. Maybe it's, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Let's just take a moment and express our trust in the Lord. So I still remember that night 6 months ago when Braden came in with his hat on and we sat right over there and he prayed to receive Christ into his life. And his family said there was a change in him afterwards. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came to live within him. The Holy Spirit came to dwell within him and he became interested in the Bible and he had a Bible next to his bed and he had Bible verses and his goal was to read the Bible every day. And maybe today you want to pray that prayer that he prayed about 6 months ago to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to live and dwell within you. If that's you, just pray something in your spirit, something like, Jesus, I believe in you and I receive you as my leader and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to live the rest of my days for you. Amen.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, it won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new, and And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, it won't be long to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall, the only scars in heaven, yeah, are on the hands that hold you now. Not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in hell, won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven on the hands that hold you now.
Let us pray. Give rest, O Christ, to Braden. You only are immortal, the creator and maker of mankind. And we are mortal, formed of the earth, and to the earth we shall return. For so did you ordain when you created us, saying, you are dust, and to the dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave, we make our song, Alleluia. We commend Braden to the mercy of God, our maker, redeemer, and comforter. Braden, we entrust you to God. Go forth from this world in the love of God who created you, and in the mercy of Jesus who died for you. Amen. After the service today, we'd like to invite you to a luncheon, and to get there, you go out of these rooms and take a right. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, for he came to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort those who mourn, and provide for those who grieve. He has promised to grant you a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Go in his peace. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are promise good.